This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Early this morning, news broke that US President Donald Trump would take the US out of the 2015 Paris Agreement on climate change. Trump said, and I quote, "In order to fulfill my solemn duty to protect America and its citizens, the United States will withdraw from the Paris Climate Pact." The U.S. Vice President echoed this. He said, "The American people and the wider world will see once again our president is choosing to put American jobs and American workers first." Adding to these voices, the American Coalition for Clean Coal Electricity said they supported Donald Trump's move. They said the previous administration volunteered to meet one of the most stringent goals of any country in the world, while many other countries did do far less to reduce their emissions. Meeting President Obama's goals would have led to more regulation, higher energy prices, and dependence on less reliable energy sources. But on the other side of the divide, we have had also corporates: Unilever, Morgan Stanley, General Electric, Exxon, Google, Tesla, and Disney have all come out against this move. To help us understand the implications of this move, we have Hilary Chu on the line, a climate change researcher with Third World Network. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. Hilary, I want to begin with the question. Donald Trump's rhetoric suggests that the U.S. got a bad deal and that yet again the U.S. has been victim, and that this withdrawal is a prelude, perhaps even, to renegotiating a better deal for the U.S. Is this even possible?
It's not possible at all. It is very, very unlikely. And as we know, this is a very historical and landmark international agreement. Many, many countries have spent a lot of time, a lot of resources into negotiating this agreement. So for one country to say that you want to renegotiate, it is not possible. In fact, the UNFCCC, the convention secretary itself, has also issued a statement saying that it is not possible to renegotiate based on a request from just one party to the convention.
What about the accusation that President Obama had negotiated a bad deal for the U.S.? Is this a fair allegation?
Not at all. If you listen to the entire press conference, it sounds like it's like a ranting, you know. In fact, the world has actually bent backward to accommodate the U.S. because the U.S. cannot get this agreement through the Congress. So that's why this is not a treaty, right? So a lot of things are not legally binding in that agreement, and that is to accommodate the U.S. to come on board. The U.S., we should not forget the U.S. was not a party to Kyoto Protocol, the previous regime to cut emission. And because to get them on board, because they are still the number two biggest polluter in the world. So to get them on board, the world has actually accommodated and made a lot of compromise for the U.S. So to come now and say that this is a bad deal for the U.S. and that Obama has done a bad job, has not protected the American interest, that's not true at all.
We also had statements from Jean-Claude Juncker, the president of the EU Commission, saying that that this process of withdrawal, in fact, might take up to 3 to 4 years. Could you walk us through this process? Why is it that this somewhat definitive statement by Donald Trump is not going to be translated on the ground as a clean cut from the process, from the agreement?
Yes, it's not immediate because there's a provision in the agreement that if you want to leave the agreement, it will take 3 years after the agreement has entered into force. And the agreement entered into force on 4th of November 2016. So that means it can only put in its instrument or notification to withdraw in 3rd of November 2019. And then after that, for that notification to come into effect, it will take another year.
What is the net effect of this? We know, of course, the U.S. is one of the biggest emitters of greenhouse gases. It's one of it is the world's largest economy. It is a superpower. Its withdrawal, perhaps, could it derail global efforts to hold climate change in check?
Well, it will, definitely, because they are now, if they are pulling out of Paris Agreement, then they are not subjected to this emission reduction, right? So they can do whatever they want. So, I mean, we already see that he's trying to roll back all the policies that Obama has put in place, right, which is going to bring down their emission. And now he's very happily saying that, you know, the coal industry can carry on and all this. You were saying earlier about the Clean Coal Alliance. These are all the cronies that can carry on business as usual. So their emission is actually going to go up. And that is really bad for the climate crisis. Because as I said earlier, they are still the number two. So So they are not doing their part at all.
What about the question of new leadership? I guess the presumption is that the U.S. was leading the discussion, the conversation globally on dealing with climate change. Now there's talk that China, perhaps in an alliance with Europe, will helm this. And how will that, if this comes to fruition, how will that change the dynamics of in terms of the politics of dealing with climate change?
The dynamics is already changing, as we can see from the last negotiation in Bonn just last month. The U.S. is, as many people has anticipated, is likely to pull out of the agreement. And so you can see now, in the past few days, in fact, the Chinese Premier Li visited Germany and then went on to Brussels to speak to the EU and all that. So there is this sort of a cooperation between the EU and the China, and they say that they will continue to lead even if the U.S. retreat. So going forward, it will be interesting to see how this cooperation between EU, China, and even India and other emerging economies, how that is going to happen. So it's not clear yet. So in the next few months, I think things will be clearer.
Now, lastly, Hilary, the question of Malaysia. What was our part in the 2015 agreement, and where do we go from here? What is the fate of contributions that we want to make to this process?
Well, we say that, I mean, we are a party to the Paris Agreement, so we will do our share. And part of it, the 10% emission reduction that we pledge, will be conditioned on finance. So another implication from the U.S. Not being part of Paris Agreement is that the finance part, who is going to fill the gap? So whatever developing countries are trying to do, what they say they would do in their nationally determined contribution, is will be severely impacted by this lack of finance. And also goes with the technology transfer and capacity building support.
Thank you very much. That's Hilary Chu, climate change researcher with Third World Network. Han, that discussion we had, I mean, we did mention the fact that there are corporates on the side of keeping America in the pact because they're contributions have failed. In fact, I believe in the U.S., they took out full-page ads. This was Unilever, Morgan Stanley, took out full-page ads in major newspapers calling for America and the administration to stay in the pact.
And you've got President Trump's daughter, Ivanka, also making that push for her dad to make sure that the U.S. stays in or within the confines of that Paris Climate Agreement. Obviously, that came to naught. But yeah, despite the opposition, nevertheless, there are certain sectors and certain industries that have voiced their support for President Trump, pulling out of this agreement, being the mining and coal industries, for example. So you have those kind of push-pull. I think safe to say his supporter base, his voter base, are very much in favor of what we have just learned over the last 12 hours or so.
We'll be back with more business news, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.